Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for listening. I'm joined by Alex Conant, partner at Firehouse Strategies. I'd probably hire Firehouse Strategies if I had any PR problems, but I don't. People love me. Alex, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Hugh. It's too bad you don't have any problems.
I don't have any problems. I don't need you. But I do love your polling, and I'm going to dive into the crosstabs because there's a stunning... I always have Alex on whenever Firehouse does a new poll. And the headlines are always about the presidential. I don't care about that because it's too far out. Here's what I care about. Has your work situation changed due to the coronavirus outbreak? The number of people who have been laid off or had their hours cut back between the ages of 18 and 34 are 35%. It is 25% between 35 and 44. It is 20% between 45 and 64. Therefore, working age America has either been fired or had their hours cut back at a rate that is astonishing, and I do not believe is yet registered in the political consciousness of how devastated the economic tsunami has left the American middle class.
That's a really good point, Hugh, and a great finding from our survey. Look, we asked people, do you think the economy is going to improve anytime soon in the next month? Only 20% of people said that was going to get better in the next month. In fact, 54, over half of Americans think it's going to get worse in the next month. And I bet if you dive into those crosstabs, you're going to see the people that are really impacted by this, but from an economic perspective, a lot of minorities and a lot of young voters. And you're right, there are definitely going to be political repercussions to that. I don't know what they are yet. I think it's too soon to say. But you can't have this sort of economic turbulence without some sort, especially hitting the middle class as hard as this is hitting the middle class.
And this is why when
real impacts.
Treasury, did you watch the briefing yesterday?
I did, yes.
I watch every minute of the briefing because I got to see, stuff just pops up at every time. Steve Mnuchin got up there and started talking about sector by sector relief, and I thought to myself, he's done a good job. He is clueless. Josh Hawley is the guy out there screaming, hose the country down with money, business interruption for everybody, might cost us a half trillion to $1 trillion a month, but just do it until we reopen. And Josh Hawley is right, Alex Conant, and I think the president must be inclined to go in his direction because this sector by sector stuff isn't going to work.
Well, it's really hard to micromanage the U.S. economy. I worked at the White House. In fact, my first day at the White House in the Bush administration was the day Katrina hit. I worked in the Office of Management Budget, and it was part of our job was doling out money for New Orleans and the South generally after Katrina. And as everyone knows, that did not go too smoothly, and that was just one city. Now we're talking about basically Katrina happening in just about every city, every state in the country, right? This is the first time we've had a major disaster declaration in all 50 states. And the economic toll it's taking is just unfathomable. And I agree, it's hard for bureaucrats in Washington or members of Congress to go in and sector by sector try to fix this. In fact, I think in some ways, the more they pick winners and losers, the bigger the political risk they are, because it means some people are going to get left behind. And right now, if you look at our polling, a lot of people in the middle class feel like they're at risk of getting left behind here.
Yeah, the economic tsunami, I'm referring to it as an economic tsunami. Apparently, the folks who are employed or own Amazon stock, and I fall into both of those categories, so I work overtime to be aware of people who are neither employed nor own Amazon stock. Apparently, the elite political class doesn't understand what has happened, or they would all be lined up behind Josh Hawley saying, we want that. We know it's going to cost, again, I'm very aware of the number. It's a half trillion dollars a month to $1 trillion a month because it's going to be about 50% of GDP per month, which is $24 trillion, and we have a $22 trillion debt. I get it. But I don't know what the alternative is, Alex. And I wonder if you see an opportunity politically for whichever party embraces not universal health care, not higher unemployment benefits, but everybody into the lifeboats, we're saving everybody.
Yeah, I mean, look, I worry about that because, look, that is a big government solution. Yeah, the idea that the government is going to pull the economy out of this, as you put it, economic tsunami, as a limited government free market guy, that – worries me. You know, I think the government needs to do everything it can to provide people the relief that they need right now so that people don't starve, people don't lose their homes. But long term, the way we turn this thing around is by getting the U.S. economy going, getting stores reopened, getting people back to work. And look, that I'm not smart enough to know how or when to do that. I leave that to the experts. But I think the president is right that you clearly want to do it as soon as possible. And I think governors want to do it as soon as possible because I realize that, look, we live in a market economy. This is not a centrally run economy. Our economy is going to continue to suffer. People are going to continue to lose income and lose jobs. As long as the market is effectively shut down. And the second point I make you is, look, it's a sad truth, but during recessions, the rich generally tend to make out okay because, as you point out, look, if you have a job right now, if you own Amazon stock right now, you're doing okay. It's the middle class and the poor who really fall behind in recessions. We saw that in 2008, and I worry a lot we're going to see it now, and the sort of social and economic disruptions that come out of that are real.
I had a discussion yesterday with an old friend who pointed out that under the Hawley proposal, money would go to alternative weeklies that are going to close anyway. And I thought to myself, yeah, but it's got to go to everyone. It's got to go to friend and foe alike. It's got to go to not-for-profit religious groups. It's got to go to colleges and universities, or we will end up. And my analogy, Alex, I'll just try it, and I want to go to a crosstab on the presidential. Is that if you've got a full street of cars who have dead batteries, and everybody's got to get out of that street right away because the flood is coming. If you send one tow truck to jump one car at a time, you'll never make it. You've got to jump every car at every time with a bat. You've got to send every AAA truck in the country to that street in order to make sure everyone gets off of it if they're all standing on the island with dead batteries. We got dead batteries everywhere. We can't pick which trucks to start or cars to start.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And that was the problem in 2008 from a political perspective, and arguably also from an economic perspective, where the government very much picked winners and losers. And I think so far they risk making the same mistake this time around.
Yep, everyone's got to win. Now let me go to the poll. The reason I'm not, I love firehouse strategies, don't get me wrong. All I care about is Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. All I care. You might prove to me North Carolina's in play. I don't believe it. I don't believe Florida's in play. I don't believe Iowa's in play. I don't think Arizona's in play. I think the only thing that they're in play are those three states. What do you know about those three states?
So we've been doing quarterly polling, and they're just those three states, as you know, Hugh. And those polls are fascinating because they show the president doing pretty well. You know, earlier this year during impeachment, he was winning in those three states. Impeachment was clearly a political miscalculation by the Democrats. In our last poll, which was right before the coronavirus hit, it was basically tied, him and Biden, those three states. And look, we know they're going to be close, and that's what our polling showed. Since then, with the coronavirus, we've been doing daily tracking polls, and for those, we've just been doing national polls, in part because this is a national event, and we're interested in seeing how people around the country are impacted. And so we can compare the Northeast to, say, the Southeast. Where there's some real disparities in how people are thinking about the virus, in part because, you know, the epicenter is in New York, not Dallas. Look, I think those three states are going to be close nationally. You know, according to our polling, the president's not doing so great right now. People are very supportive of the job governors are doing. But even Congress has a higher approval rating than the president's. The president's is sitting right around 50%, which is okay for reelection. He's losing in the head-to-head, but look, we're so far out. I don't put a lot of weight into the head-to-head with Biden. We're more asking about that to see if there's any sort of consistent trend over the next month or two as we continue to do these.
Yeah, what I continue to be most interested in is, what does Western Pennsylvania think about Joe Biden and that whole "I'm from Scranton, Joe" stuff? He wants to shut down the coal industry. I think he's lost Pennsylvania. I don't think the African-American community is solid for him in the way that it was solid for President Obama. I think he has to put Kamala Harris on the ticket. Because of that, a lot of people say he has to put Klobuchar because they need Minnesota and Wisconsin. Does your polling give you any hint on those are the only two viable candidates? It's going to be one or the other.